I've got a feeling I'm falling, falling for nobody else but you. You caught my eye, and I've got a feeling I'm falling. Show me the ring and I'll jump right through.
Barry, you saw something through your viewfinder, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
If you recall. Yeah.
Looked like skulls to me.
Yeah, you are in the middle of it, my friends. As you were setting up your camera, Barry, you saw movement in the dust and the bones and seven skulls just rise up in the air and float towards you quite rapidly. If I can recall, you've got Barry, Milton, Badger, and Abraham Stone, I believe. These skulls rise up, and I think it's a bit of a shock, probably, to most of you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, this is beyond fish folk.
I've seen people faking it before, but I can't see the strings.
Yeah, no strings on these. So yeah, the four of you are going to have to make a sanity roll right off the bat. Well, Badger, that's not looking good for you. Milton, you're pretty fine with the floating skulls. Not sure why.
Maybe I was expecting it.
Barry, what's your?
I failed it.
Well, I think you're all probably taken aback. What do you think would be your involuntary and reaction to seeing skulls rising up in the air?
Jiminy Cricket.
Abraham Stone. He says something in Yiddish, something unrepeatable in polite company in Yiddish. But these skulls, they're pretty slow moving. No, they're more like kind of floating through the air rather than shooting through the air. So I think you can all probably act.
Well, I think I shouted out "fucking hell" when I saw them. And I think I would just kind of, I would basically run backwards, like, you know, back from my viewfinder, just run backwards without looking.
Right, so you're just backing up as fast as you can, yeah? Stumbling backwards. Now, if you recall, there is a step. the chamber is slightly higher.
Oh, no, I'm not really thinking about that step right now.
No, I thought so. Well, make a luck roll.
Oh, no. No luck at all.
No luck at all. Okay, so you stumble backwards from the step. I will give you a chance. You can make a hard dexterity roll to see whether you can grab onto the side as you're toppling backwards into the murky water in the chamber behind.
No. Just fell right over.
Badger, what do you want to do?
Badger really don't like the look of that. He yells out like, what the blazes? And just turns with, like, if you could see it, probably like this just look of panic on his face, and gets maybe tangled up in the camera tripod and stuff as he attempts to flee the chamber, knocking it to one side, probably talking to it, "Get out of the way!" And I guess he sort of maybe tramples over the top of Barry on the way up.
Oh, fucking hell, mister.
At least there's not a step there. He's kind of like made a nice sort of smoother transition.
Like a slope. He's created a slope.
What are you doing down there, you bloody fool? Get up, look. Get out. Save yourselves.
All right, you can't help but tread on his face, and Barry takes a point of damage as his sort of top lip is smushed against his teeth, and he's bleeding.
Oh, fucking hell, mister.
Maybe you got a bit of a bruised and bloodied nose as well. Abraham Stone, though, is made of sterner stuff, and he pulls out his 22 revolver, and he just takes aim at one of these skulls as it flies towards him. He misses, and these skulls are starting to converge on him.
Well, I might take a swing as I kind of make a tactical retreat.
Great. All right. So you take an almighty swing at one of these heads as it bobs towards you in the air in this very worrying fashion. Wow. Oh, God. Well, actually, do you want to spend 3 luck to make that an extreme?
Oh, yes.
You swing the pickaxe and it completely shatters one of the skulls as it comes towards you. Fragments of bone just go flying across the room.
Bocco!
So, Milton, you're standing there with these skulls coming towards you. Abraham Stone is next to you and he's muttering, "What unholiness is this?" Badger and Barry, you've fled the scene, so you've left your friends to these floating skulls that fly towards them. this could get tasty. So the good news is the chattering, snapping teeth of the skulls make them move very erratically in the air, and they're kind of darting and bobbing, and they don't seem to be particularly adept at attacking, but they are definitely going to try and take some nice juicy chunks out of them. So let's say 2 on each, and the other 2 go floating over them and start chasing Barry and Badger, because they are also intruding on their sanctum, obviously. But first I'll do Milton. Ooh, 98, that's actually a fumble. Milton, you're proving yourself to be quite a melee fighter here.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you kind of scoots over your head, and you kind of turn around and push it into the wall as it hits. You hear this satisfying cracking sound, and it's half of its lower jaw just splinters and drops off, but it's still intact. But clearly, it's been badly beaten. Now, because you had your back turned, and because there was another one attacking you, this one will get a bonus dice to attack you because you're outnumbered. So you feel this immense, intense, sharp pain in your back as the other skull just kind of latches onto you, and it clamps its teeth into your back, and it's not letting go.
Ouch.
And you've now got an animated skull just gnawing away at your back. Barry, you're lying in the water with a bloody nose.
Yeah.
You see this skull hove into view above you and then dip down with its jaws open, snapping away like a manic pair of castanets.
Fucking hell!
And it's coming down at you. Oh, but it just sploshes down into the water beside you. It clearly doesn't have much of a sense of direction.
Can I just get up and stamp on it with my foot?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that sounds like the right thing to do.
Okay, so you need to make a fighting brawl roll. Are you any good at that?
Not really. No, I'm just splashing around, really.
Yeah, it's too dark in there. The water's too murky. And then you hear the chattering sound as it kind of plops up behind you. It obviously went between your legs and came up behind you.
Fucking hell.
As you're being chased, Badger, you hear this chattering sound. I'll tell you what, you can make a listen roll. Woodsman's sense pays off because you didn't actually get an action last round, you just moved. I'll let you take an action now as you hear this thing. Maybe it kind of skims against the ceiling, makes a scraping noise. So you can react. You can take your action before it gets to you.
How far have I got away from the?
You've got all the way back to where the ladder is at this point.
Right, because what my intent was, because we had some tools and stuff out there to break down the wall. So if there's like a wrecking bar or a shovel, ideally a nice long-handled shovel would be. Spot
excellent.
On.
All right.
Something
so
with a good
that.
Surface area, so I've got a better chance of hitting it like a tennis racket.
Yeah, no, that's very good. A flat, hit it with a flat of the shovel.
That's maybe it.
Hit it for 6 kind of thing.
That's it, yeah. Straight over silly mid off there. Douche.
Excellent. Right, okay, you can make an attack roll then. if you spend 7 luck, you'd make that an extreme.
I'll go on and do it.
If you want to do that? Okay, yeah. I will... this thing's going to try and dodge out of the way as it saw you swinging round. But it fails miserably. You hit it flush on with the flat of the shovel, and you just shatter it into a million pieces. It goes... you hear the sound of all the pieces like falling into the water to the side, and some of it hits the wall. So two of these have been completely decimated, destroyed. One of them's got half a jaw hanging off, but that means there's still 3 fully intact ones and the bony one. Milton, you got one on your back.
Just given the success with which I dispatched the last two, I figure these things are quite fragile, so I'm going to throw myself backwards against the wall.
Excellent. Yeah, nothing like getting little shards of razor-sharp bone like lodged into your back.
I'm acting on impulse. I'm being gnawed out.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. I'm not thinking this through.
No, but given that the thing is completely clamped on your back, it's going to be pretty straightforward for you to do that. So... So you can either make a strength roll or a fighting brawl roll, whichever you wish. So you slam yourself back against the wall with all your weight. You hear a cracking sound, but it's not enough to shatter this thing. And you feel it tighten its grip on your back, and it's starting to worry away at your flesh. You need to get this thing off. It's gonna take a piece out of you if you're not careful.
Get it off me! Get it off me!
Stone is looking around saying, "I'm kind of busy here."
Aren't there loads of bones lying around? You could just pick up a bone.
That is true. In fact, there are swords. I just completely forgot about that. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There are these priceless Bronze Age swords lying around. So he just grabs one of them and he says, for the Holy Land. Oh, again, he misses. He's pretty rubbish, to be honest. Barry and Badger, you, what are you doing?
I'm running for the fucking ladder.
So you start climbing up the ladder. You probably get about halfway up by the end of this round.
Badger's picked up the shovel. He smashed one aside and, feeling a bit braver, gathered his thoughts. He's talking to himself. He's kind of right. Get yourself back in there, man, and sort them things out. Poor old Milton. And he's kind of got his teeth gritted as he goes pacing down there, kind of jogging maybe if there's room to jog. But he's making his way as quick as he can into the chamber. And I think he would have maybe heard Milton's cries and that, so he's looking...
Yeah, I mean, Milton's kind of maybe trying to shake this thing off him now. His wall slam didn't fully dislodge this thing. It's still clinging on. You can see blood starting to soak through the back of Milton's tweed jacket.
Yeah, so I'll just drop the shovel down and grab hold of this thing with both hands, like sink my fingers into its eye sockets to get a good grip, and then just like wrench it off with all my weight. You know, maybe I'll put my knee up against Milton to kind of get extra purchase and shove him forward as I pull backward the skull.
You swear you can hear the skulls sort of chatter, as their teeth chatter as they open and close their skulls. It does sound like this manic laughter as you do this. You easily pull it off. Now the teeth were deeply lodged into poor old Milton's back. So Milton, you're going to take another D3 damage as a big chunk of your flesh of your back comes out and is clamped between this thing's teeth with a big swathe of tweed that tore away from your jacket. Yeah, there is a big hole in your back at this point.
Jesus Christ, man!
It slips out of your hands. Maybe the blood covering it sort of made it slick, and it sort of plops upwards and floats in the air, just hovering, and it turns around to look at you.
Or perhaps I dropped it in disgust as I saw like a lump of Milton still attached and just like, what have I done? What have I done? And dropped it.
Brave Barry.
Yeah.
You hear a clattering behind you as this skull floats upwards and it's heading straight for your bum. Your big juicy bum sticking out.
That's right. So I'm just climbing up the ladder as fast as I can, and as soon as I can kind of, you know, breathe the air from outside, I'm shouting, Dr. Emery! Dr. Emery! Dr. Emery! Fucking skulls!
He's back in the mill, isn't
he? He's sitting there with the rabbi still brewing space mead.
So tell me what happens. This thing just comes shooting up for you, trying to get, you know, that nice big target of your bum.
I think my feet are moving like in cartoons, you know, where it's just like this kind of
spinning round
cyclone, exactly. Yeah. And the skull just unfortunately goes too close, and it just kind of gets knocked, and it hits the edge of the shaft, not even looking at it.
Okay, you can make a fighting brawl roll with a bonus dice. You can spend some luck on that if you
want.
I'll spend
the luck. How much do I have to spend there? I have to spend 12 luck. Yeah. That's fine by me. Yeah.
All right. Now, this would be a D4 plus. Do you have any damage bonus for your size?
Unarmed. I've got D3 plus damage. No damage bonus.
Okay, all right. Well, roll a D3 then.
Okay.
Get your D3
out. I rolled a 3.
Okay, all right. Yeah, your foot just makes contact with it almost unintentionally, and you kick it off to the side, and you hear a satisfying crack as it hits the side of the shaft, and it sways uncertainly in the air.
I'm not even looking. I'm just climbing up the ladder. Dr. Emery! Dr. Emery!
Now, one of them is still attacking Stone, but the other one's going to float over towards Badger and have a go at him. So the one that attacks Stone, again, misses. These things are really terrible at attacking, which is a good thing, really. And the other one attacks Badger and also misses. Not a fumble, though, so... You can actually both you and Stone can fight back if you want.
Yep.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay. You hit another one for 6. Slams up against the roof.
4.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we cut back then to Dr. Watson? You hear this plaintive cry coming faintly from across the pond.
Dr. Emery. Dr. Emery.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. Do you hear that? Am I hearing things? Or is someone shouting?
Dr. Emery!
My hearing isn't what it used to be.
My friend, mine is not so good too. I think I am a bit older than you. Did you accidentally taste any of this when we were mixing?
Wasn't I supposed to? Oh dear.
No.
Well, I might have licked my fingers clean on a couple of occasions.
Ah, that'll be it. It creates audio and visual hallucinations for 6 to 8 hours.
Oh dear.
Yes. Maybe I'd better go and have a lie down and wait for it all to pass.
You'll be okay. Have you ever taken... mescaline, peyote?
Oh, yes, many times. Yes, it wasn't quite as exciting as my experiences with ayahuasca. Let me tell you about my trip to Bolivia.
I'm sure this is very fascinating, but I think maybe saves this for another time. I'm actually pretty certain your friend seems to be crying out in some level of distress. Maybe
we should.
Maybe we should go and ascertain what the problem is, no?
Yes, I suppose so. Yes, they might be in trouble. And so, yeah, Dr. Emery will get up and take a leisurely stroll in the direction of the...
Rabbi Kern comes with you, and as you emerge out of the mill, you see Barry frantically waving his arms in the air.
Sorry, I'm wading into the water. I'm just wading
He's
back.
Wading
Dr. Emery!
Yes, what is it, young man?
The skulls. The antique skulls. The burial skulls. The burial skulls. The down there.
Well, I'm sure that's very exciting. Do make sure you catalogue them properly.
No, it's horrible.
Be careful with them. We don't want to damage any if we're going to try to ascertain what civilization dug this. Do you still think there's any chance that it's Roman construction?
It's just burial skulls. They're yapping. They're grabbing. They're biting. They're not nice. They're not lying down.
Rabbi Kern says, your friend seems distressed in some way.
Yeah, their burial skulls are floating around and chasing us all around.
Are you sure it's not just me that's been exposed to psychedelic substances?
Rabbi Cohen puts his hand on your shoulder, Emery, and says, what is that? As the skull pops up out of the hole and comes scooting across the pond towards Barry.
Dr. Emery!
Well, I think now would be a good time for Dr. Emery to make that sanity roll.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? You know what? Before you do that, make a spot hidden, because if you don't see it, then you don't have to make a sanity roll.
Right.
Because it is small, and you're old. Oh, no, you see it. I think you see it and every other instance of it across every other parallel universe at the same time.
I have seen through time. I've seen the man he once was before the decapitation.
Actually, you know what? I think that's quite nice. I think maybe you did lick a bit of the space mead, and yeah, you're going to get some kind of insight from this. But let's make that sanity roll first.
No. Well, I think first of all, I mean, for an involuntary action, I'm hoping we're not still kind of carrying the space meat and progress around, because otherwise I think involuntarily I'm just going to neck it.
That is a failure. I think you were holding it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is Emery's coping mechanism in times of stress. It's normally gin, but in this case, I mean, it's space mead. It's the same thing, really.
Rabbi Cohen shouts out, "No, Watson, what are you doing?"
Oh, that wasn't gin, was it, Rabbi? And then he sits down very heavily on the ground.
Oh, no! He kind of squats down next to you and says, "Emery, look at me. Look into my eyes." And he slaps you a couple of times.
Rabbi, I can see through your eyes.
Oh, this is not good, Emery. Oh, dear. Maybe we need to find some rope and tie you down, I think. Wait here.
He goes back into the mill.
Fucking hell.
You suddenly feel this intense pain as bony teeth clamp into your scalp. Like, it's trying to gnaw your hair off, it seems. And it's got a huge chunk of hair, and it's worrying its teeth into your scalp. You're knee-deep in the mill pond with a floating skull clinging onto your hair.
I'm going to smash it off.
Okay, go for it. It tries to yank a bit of your hair out to try and get out of the way, but your hair is very strong, given that you're young and vigorous.
I guess I'm kind of punching it, really, and I think I managed to kind of, I don't know, weaken the jaw a little bit, but it's obviously still a bit of sinew still stuck on there.
Yeah, maybe some very old sinew. Yeah, so I think most of the top of the skull has been smashed, but the jaws are still...
Oh yeah.
Got a clamp in on your scalp, and it's
fucking
it's gonna do more damage to you in a minute. But back down in the pit, meanwhile, Badger, you've got this bloody skull floating above you. You dropped it when it went down into the water, and now it's shot back up, bobbed back up like an apple in a barrel, and it's kind of chattering away, and it's about to leap up at you.
I will bring down the shovel full force on top of it. I'll get like a two-handed grasp on the shovel, and with an overhead downward swing straight on top of it, and it just sort of splits, shatters to pieces.
Splits in half, lovely. Milton, yeah. You are now free, but in immense pain from this huge hole in your back. You see there's one left down there, which is... diving towards Abraham's stone at this point.
So I'm going to use the old pick head and take a swipe at it.
The point of the pick just goes straight through the brain pan of the skull, and it's just like stuck on the end, like a tomato on a kebab skewer. And you have dispatched them.
Brilliant.
Goodness me, you actually did that. Did pretty well there. I'm impressed. Got some good damage in there. But you are in serious pain, Milton.
I'm in trouble.
We better get you some help, old boy. There's a dirty great hole in your back there.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, how was I to know it had hold it? I thought it just had the back of your coat. Damnable thing.
You know from previous experience that Dr. Emery is very skilled at first aid.
yes. Well, I need to get out of this damn hole and see if we can get Emery on the case. Have a look at this thing and try and patch me up.
You do hear now the sounds of Barry screaming from up above.
Fucking hell, God.
Emery. The world is starting to become brighter and more colourful around you. There are millions of pinpricks of light appearing like tiny stars. You can almost zoom in on tiny little details of your surroundings, like droplets of dew on leaves, the rustling of grass as small field mice scurry through the undergrowth.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I mean, Emery is going to jump up to his feet and start chasing these pinpricks of light around, trying to catch them like a toddler trying to catch fireflies.
You did get an insane revelation. You do start to somehow understand what is going on here, what is going on down in that pit, what these skulls are, what these remnants. You realise that these skulls, they're the remains of a hideous slaughter that took place down in this burial chamber. Something bad was buried down there, and something that infected everything around, that is leaching out into the environment, that is mutating the fish, that is warping the trees, that maybe even is poisoning all of you, is doing some horrible damage to the inhabitants of this village. You also know that whatever's down there has to be destroyed.
So, yeah, then I guess Emery is just wading through the water towards the pit, and then getting down on his hands and knees before it, and just shouting down, "Hello! Hello! Ancient evil, can you identify yourself?"
Dr. Emery, Dr. Emery, can you get this fucking thing off the top of my head? Can you get it off my head, please? Dr. Emery?
It's all right. It's as much a victim as you are. It's not its fault. Our issue is with whatever killed it in the first place.
Dr. Emery, it's really hurting my head.
It's all right. Pain is just a transitory sensation. Once one learns to live outside time, then you can see pain for the trivial joke that it truly is.
At which point, the thing gives an immense yank on your hair and scalp, and you're going to take another D3 damage, Barry. So can you roll a D3, please?
Oh, it's a 3!
You can almost start to feel your scalp lifting up off your skull as this thing is pulling and pulling.
Fucking hell, mister!
I don't think anyone down below has got any time to get up there to help you, Barry. You're on your own. Emery doesn't seem interested. But you hear Rabbi Cohen say, "Keep still, boy. I have a good shot from here." As he raises his gun.
No, Rabbi, just no. Just get off. Don't know. Just not. No. No.
I'm sure I can get it. I was top marksman when I was a young cadet.
Before we shoot it, Rabbi, have we tried talking to it? And Emery will just wander over to where the skull is still chewing on Barry's head, and just stroke it like a like a lost cat or something, and just say, "It's all right. There's no reason to be angry anymore. You're free of its influence."
So I'm gonna grab hold of it and just dive under the water and yank it off.
Well, given that Emery was stroking it first, I'll let Emery do something. You can make a Cthulhu Mythos roll at this point. Ooh, no, 21 luck. It's up to you.
It'd be funny.
Yes.
Yeah. When in doubt, go for the fun option. I'm going to spend 21 points of luck and make a new
wonderful friend. Wonderful. So you're stroking this skull. Barry's trying to desperately push it off and dive down, but you connect with it somehow, Emery. You've created some kind of telepathic link with this skull.
And yes, I'm telling it. Yes, it's all right. You're free of the malign influence down there. You're free now. It's all right. You're amongst friends. Just let go of that man's head, and we can talk about this like civilized people.
Get a fucking jaw off the top of my fucking head, Dr. Emery.
You hear a voice in your head, Emery. It says, "What deviltry is this? Who am I? How did I get here?"
"It's been a very long time. Just let go of that man's head and come through. We can have a discussion over a cup of tea."
Make a persuade roll.
Oh yeah, success.
Barry, to your immense relief, you feel the teeth loosen their grip on your scalp, and a wave of relief passes through you. And Emery, you see this skull just kind of bob upwards in the air, and it rotates around a few times. It looks very uncertain about what to do next.
Come with me. Let's go somewhere more comfortable, and like I say, we can have a chat. And Emery's just got to stroll back towards the farmhouse, assuming the skull will follow him.
Rabbi Stone is looking utterly agog at you. He's saying, "What are you doing, Emery? This is a
monstrous devil. What?
No. He was one of the poor victims sacrificed down there a long time back. As I said, he's as much a victim as anyone else here. Let's go through to the farmhouse and hear what he has to say. This is our way of learning what happened down there. Isn't this the dream of every archaeologist and historian, to be able to speak firsthand to the long dead? Come, let's just discuss this.
I think I'm just going to wade over to the shore. I'm going to take off a jacket or a shirt or something. I'm just going to tie it around the top of my head, and I'm just going to sit there. Because I tell you what, I am not getting paid enough to do anything else.
You are definitely...
And you're getting a week, aren't you?
No, I'm not getting... I'm getting 5 shillings a week. Thank you very much.
Of course, yeah.
I've got that camera on monthly. I'm not going to see that bloody camera again, am I? Down in the skull pit.
The fact that one of your bosses is treating an animated skull more kindly than he's ever treated you is probably getting at you a bit, isn't it, Barry?
I tell you, this whole fucking thing's been getting to me, to be quite honest with you. I've been locked in the trunk. I've been forced to take pictures of non-cavorting and make it look like it's something else. I've been forced around here. That other guy, the geezer who was dead the other day, he was really unkind to me. And now I'm supposed to take more pictures down where there's no light. And what kind of pictures do you really expect? And those flashes, do you think they cover my expenses on the flashes? No, I've got to pay for them as well. That comes out of my 5 shillings a week. And I'm still getting that camera on monthly, even if I haven't got it anymore. So, quite frankly, if Dr. Emery now is talking to the remains of a jaw from... I'm really not surprised, and I don't care, because I'm not getting paid enough to care about it. And I don't know about it anyway. I haven't seen any cavorting.
I think to add insult to injury, while you're having this meltdown, Emery, oblivious, just stops on the way to the farmhouse, looks around at the skull and says, "You're such a mess," and then just starts picking bits of scalp and hair out of its teeth.
And my hair and my scalp's hardly going to grow back nice, is it? Imagine what I'm going to look like on my wedding.
Rabbi Cohen comes over, kind of crouches down, pats you on the back, says, there, boy, there.
You were going to fucking shoot me, you crazy bastard.
I wasn't going to shoot you, I was going to shoot that thing. But Emery has made friends with it, so we are all good now, no?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. No, why don't you come inside and sit down? We all make a nice chit-chat.
Yes.
All right. I kind of really grumpily just trudge back to the house. Picking up the bits of my head that Dr. Emery's chucking on the floor over his shoulder.
Yeah, meanwhile, down in the pit, in the frantic melee, maybe you kicked around some of the bones and stuff, and some of the skulls went around, some of the swords. Obviously, you heard a bit of commotion going on upstairs, but back on the surface, but everything seems calm now. And again, you do see this slab. I was actually being a little bit over-generous with its sizing. It's definitely not as big as the one on the surface, certainly not as heavy. It's probably only about 4 feet square. By your estimate, probably weighs about 300 pounds, knowing what you now know about the construction of this edifice, Badger and Milton.
Well, we were going to get Milton looked at after that nasty chunk he's got took out. So we might have to make a note that this size it up, so we can get a plan together, and we'll have to come back. We've got to get him patched up.
And this is this chamber we're in. There's no other exits or anything.
No, no, not that you can see, at least. I mean, you could maybe have a look around when you're feeling better, maybe with torchlight and everything. But right now, it only looks like there's this slab in the floor, and that's it.
Come on, Milton. No time for archaeology now. Let's get you patched up. Once we get you on the road to recovery, we can soon come back down here, and hopefully there won't be any more skulls now that we've given them a good thrashing.
Indeed.
Rabbi Cohen is well versed in treating wounds of this nature. Well, not exactly of this nature. You know, like skull wounds. That's not very common. But he will be able to deal with the lacerations.
Ah, excellent.
Let us go.
So we assist Milton out of the hole.
Yes, yes, thank you very much.
If he can't climb the ladder, we'll hoist him out or something.
Okay, so you head back to the island and you're all back up on the surface. When you go into the living room, you see I suppose you could call it either a remarkable sight or a fucking worrying sight. Sitting around the kitchen table are Rabbi Cohen, Emery Watson, and the skull. Or at least what's left of one of the skulls.
Yeah, what's that? Emery's jawing with.
I sloped inside and I want to ask Rabbi Cohen if he's got any bandages. I'm going to bandage my bloody head up.
Well, maybe what's happening is that in the corner of the room, you're sitting down with the rabbi and he's bandaging up your head. Meanwhile, Emery, you're sitting there with the skull in front of you. So Milton and Badger, you see this remarkably strange sight.
What on earth?
It's like they're having a chin wag. I reckon we're like, are we peering in through the window, do you think? We're both stood there, like peering in through the window.
Is this some kind of skull whisperer?
Obviously, Emery's connection with this skull is a psychic one, but that doesn't mean that he's not verbalising all his questions and then looking very intently into the eye sockets of the skull as if it's answering back.
It's only got half eye sockets because the whole of the top of its head has been smashed off, but that doesn't seem to have affected its ability to communicate with you too much, so... Yeah, what do you vocalise then?
So, what do you actually remember about what happened to you? I know it's been a very long time, but I do try to cast your mind back. This is quite important because we know someone did something terrible to you and we want to make sure that they never hurt anyone else again like they hurt you. So, yeah, anything you can tell us about who or what they were and what they did and what their purposes were would be frightfully useful. I'm sorry, listen to me going on like this, not letting you get a word in edgeways. I'll be quiet now.
The skull says, "You speak strangely. Are you from..."
I've been told that, yes.
"I do not fully comprehend your words, but you want to know what happened."
Yes.
"Me and my fellows, we were sent to destroy this evil. This ancient king was buried."
"Ancient king, you said?"
"Yes, he swore fealty to the devil." "And we came to destroy him, destroy his remains."
"Can you remember this king's name?"
"Ulthar."
"Ulthar?"
"Through our wise men, we found the entrance to this tomb, and we entered. We found the secret chamber. We went in, and then an evil force took my men's minds, and we all slaughtered each other where we stood.
That's unfortunate.
He was below. He was below.
He was buried below where you were. You believe that he was buried within that chamber?
Further down, the evil emanated from this crystal chamber.
Crystal chamber.
And now he makes us sleep to defend his resting place. Awaken.
Well, you are free of that obligation now. You are released from her servitude, so... yes, there's no need to do that anymore.
No, I have no more reason to live.
And then the voice goes silent.
Well, that does raise an interesting philosophical point about whether you're actually alive or not, and oh, well, I see that's fairly moot now anyway.
And all you are left with is a inert piece of jawbone, a partially intact eye socket, with a bit of Barry's hair entwined around it.
Yes. Gentlemen, this was absolutely fascinating. The spirit tied within that skull has revealed so much vital information to me. And I think that's the point at which the space mead finally overcomes Emery, and he just goes face forward onto the table and starts snoring.
Excellent. Right, yeah, so Emery, you just faceplant onto the table, and then you're snoring away with the skull just lying next to you, and it's rolled over on its side, and you could swear, the rest of you could swear, it's staring lovingly into Emery's eyes. Rabbi Cohen tends to your wounds. I'm sorry, my boy. I can staunch the bleeding, but we need more than just plasters for this. I'm going to have to sew you up, Mr. Barry.
Fucking hell. Well, has anybody got any liquor? Have you got anyone got any liquor? Can I have just a bit of that? I know it.
Well, Emery didn't get the way he is, but on fresh air. What's going on here?
Badger will be sliding off his belt and folding it up, ready for Barry to bite on. bite on this, Barry.
Doesn't Emery always have a little hip flask? I'm sure Emery's got a hip flask or something.
Well, I don't care, whatever, just fucking get on with it.
Have some of this brandy.
You were the one going to shoot me in the head.
Bite down on this belt. It's going to hurt.
Okay. It really does hurt so badly. He can't do anything for you. It's like you just feel this stab of pain as his needle goes in. He says, okay, we don't try this now, okay? Puts the needle. Yes.
Yeah, it's like if he could just bind it up so I've got a turban. That's enough. That's what I want. I want just a big turban of bandage, please, for now.
We don't have turban. Would a Russian hat do?
Just get the bandages on and just stick the hat on. It's fine. It's fine.
If it at the very least, it will soak up some of the blood. So they try and he does as best as he can with the bandages, and then they shove one of the Russian hats on your head. So it looks like you basically have a large licorice all sort now on top of your head.
I'm going to sit there dabbing my forehead as it runs red, you know, every so often with a little hanky.
But you, Mr. Milton, please let me examine you.
Yes, please do, Doctor. I don't know what's going on back there. And I'd rather not know, to be honest.
Can someone help him take his jacket off, please?
Yeah, I'll help. Here you go. I'll help you, Milton. There you go. It's the least I can do.
you hear an audible gasp from Rabbi Cohen as the jacket and shirt come off. He goes, "Oh no! Sorry, that's something in my throat. Don't worry, you're fine. You'll be fine.
Just do what you've got to do."
Deep night, stars in the sky above, moonlight lighting our place of love. Night winds seem to have gone to rest. Two eyes, brightly with love, are gleaming.
And then Cohen says, "We must find out what this, what Mr. Watson was speaking about. This sounds fascinating."
I'd just like to think that Emery wakes up for just a fraction of a second to say, "Dr. Watson," and then.
Come on.
Really? You think he could shed some light on anything?
He was communicating with this skull. I saw it with my own eyes.
He was fucking talking to himself. What are you on about?
What have you been plying him with?
It was not my suggestion. We were making this as a possible way of, discovering more. It seems like it worked, no?
Well, this is not the moment. I've learned nothing personally.
Well, I think your friend here, he has seen something. He knows something. He said something about down below, I think.
Well, there's some kind of casket, or there's Milton. We left that casket, didn't we? That other.
We did. There's certainly more exploring to do. Hopefully, it's the last we'll see of those damn skulls.
Well, then let's just go and blow up that bloody burial chamber.
What are we gonna blow it up with, Barry? Exactly, eh?
Well, I was in the boot, I thought there was stuff in there.
Did you buy dynamite or not?
No, we didn't buy dynamite. No, didn't. We bought a rake of combustible stuff for making Molotov cocktails.
Set fire to it then. Burn it.
Have you got a fly under your hat, Barry?
A fly? Just because your back's all patched up nice like, and I've got a Russian mop.
Do nothing but complain, you Barry. I got a bone to pick with you as well. You was a bit sharp up that ladder, I noticed, when we was all getting attacked by them skulls.
Yeah? You with your £5 a week fornication racket. You just get me to do all the crap work.
I don't know if I'll be able to recommend your photography services if anybody asks me.
You wouldn't know good photography.
If it bit me on the head.
You wouldn't know good photography if you tripped over it trying to run out of the room yourself, you old bastard.
Oh. I say.
I saw you trampling on my camera, running out.
That's because you left it in the way. You blocked the escape route.
They're taking pictures of you and your fornicators.
Gentlemen, please, this is no time to be squabbling.
And you just hurt my head more.
I didn't. I just couldn't make it better. That is a very big difference, Mr. Clapper. But
doesn't feel like a very big difference.
What Mr. Emery was saying, there is a terrible evil down there. We must deal with this. This is why we are here.
But how? How must we proceed? Have you learned anything?
No, I don't know. When Emery wakes up, maybe he knows more, but are we not men of action?
What is vaction? What is vaction anyway? What are you on about?
Now listen to me, Barry. You need to be more respectful of the rabbi. I thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head, young man. Or your employer will be knowing all about this little escapade of yours.
I tell you what, I can see you are traumatized by your experience. I will send Rabinowitz. He will open up this thing. Have a look. He is a brave soldier.
Sounds like a plan.
Is he getting 5 shillings a week as well?
Rabinowitz? These men here are not feeling very happy about looking down in this pit. Can you show them how a man of faith truly faces his worst fears? Rabinowitz sort of stands up straight and he says, "Of course." And he grabs his Lee Enfield and stalks off out of the house and across to the pond. And Cohen is looking at all of you. Now would be the time to offer your assistance to Rabinowitz, you know.
Well, indeed, he certainly is a man of action. I mean, if he knows anything about vanquishing evil, I mean, all I've been able to do so far is hit it over the head.
Sometimes the most obvious methods are the most effective, Mr. Milton.
Well, I'll go and get the shotgun and I'll get our materials out of the boot.
Yes, I'll join Badger.
I'm gonna sit on the wall of the weir, you know, by the lake, with a sour old face, and I'm gonna watch them struggle on because I can't take any pictures of it because my camera's down there, and it's all broken.
Did the camera get? I don't think the camera did get broken. No.
Mr. Badger tripped over it.
Did he?
Yeah, I shoved it out of the way.
Oh, okay.
Well, not necessarily.
He was talking to it.
I was talking to it, yeah.
It could be salvaged, surely.
Well, I'm not going back down there, even if I am paying for it monthly.
Okay.
Probably more of them bloody skulls, isn't it?
Okay, so Barry, you're sitting on the wall. The rest of you head back with your equipment back down into the chamber. All is quiet down there. Just dead bones. The shaft, or rather the big stone slab, looks like you could easily lever it off.
So, before we go down there, we'll prepare some Molotov cocktails, I'll take it. That was the whole point of getting these things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got a couple of each, maybe. Maybe Rabinowitz gets the tire iron and crowbar, whatever.
What could I be tooled up with? We got anything better than this old axe head, pickaxe head?
We got a spare Lee Enfield that was left to us.
Right, yes, yeah, yeah. Although, if memory serves me right, I am better with a stick.
Maybe Rabinowitz hands you a rather tasty-looking lead-weighted kosh.
Yes, that'll do nicely.
He says, that'll do for you, I think.
Thank you very much. Your last goodbye. My house is haunted by the memories that refuse to die.
The Rabinowitz levers off the slab, slides it across, and you see a long shaft going down into darkness. The sides of it are covered in this strange bluish-green fungus that's faintly glowing, which allows you to see down further than you would, but the bottom is somewhat out of sight in the darkness. The shaft is about 4 feet wide, and the fungus looks fairly slimy and slippery.
Well, we did have a knotted rope from before.
Well, you lower it down. And you estimate that, you know, you feel it go sort of slack or just slightly slacken. shaft seems to be about 20 feet. It is dark at the bottom, so unless you like threw a torch down or something, you wouldn't be able to see what's down there until you were...
Have we got a torch? We drop a torch down there. Or lower the lantern on the end of the rope.
I like that image. So you lower the lantern down, and you see that at the bottom there's a small chamber and another one of these bronze doors to the side.
Looks like we better go down there.
Yeah, let's go.
For kind of dramatic irony, if you're happy with this, I mean, if you think of this in cinematic terms, the camera then cuts back to the farmhouse where Emery wakes up with a start, looks around at no one in particular and says, It's imperative that no one go down there. You're all going to your dooms if you do. Oh, I wonder where they've gone. And then goes back to sleep.
Yes, perfect. So, of course, no one heard that. So, you're heading down. So you lower yourselves down, and there's another one of these bronze doors with the studs on them.
Is this chamber again littered with bones, or is it clear?
The chamber at the bottom is clear. It's just a small square antechamber. Obviously, whatever's beyond that bronze door is what this whole structure is there for.
Well, you better work your magic on it, Milton. Whatever you did last time worked a treat.
Ah, yes.
So you slide them over, and then with a grinding noise, the bronze door slides to the right. And beyond, you see light. Yeah, in fact, as the door slides open, a shaft of light comes kind of shining out from beyond. And the door slides open and reveals a remarkable chamber beyond.
My word.
Good grief.
It's both octagonal in plan view, and it's also octagonal in kind of vertical section view as well. It's like a... But everything seems to be made of this reflective quartz substance. The surfaces are made of a seamless white material which reflects light from a myriad of tiny points. It seems as if its quartz fused by some unimaginable heat. And in the center of the room is an octagonal basalt slab, 5 feet across, 18 inch thick, supported on 3 foot high and 3 foot diameter quartz pillar. And lying on the slab is a human skeleton, dressed in fur trousers and a fur cape, with a bronze chest plate, a bronze sword, and several copper bracelets.
Well, it's not something you see every day.
Unless you watch the Shopping Channel.
And at this point, we will quickly just cut back before we end the session to Emery in his Space Mead reverie. Dr. Watson, you're in a grand and large chamber, cloaked in shadow. You can't see beyond maybe 10 feet. There are pillars around you. But you can hear something from the darkness. You can hear a chewing sound. Chewing, tearing, crunching. As if something big is chewing away at meat or something.
Hello? Who's there? I'm sorry, I can't quite see you at the moment. You're making a dreadful racket.
Munch, 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 tear. And then you hear this clatter as a bone just skitters across the floor and lands at your feet. The bone has got red rags of flesh still attached to it and smeared in blood. And a voice, a deep voice, says, "Are you hungry, Dr. Watson?"
um, Not especially at the moment, no. You sound like that beefsteak chappy. Is that you?
Not exactly.
That bone doesn't look like it came from any beefsteak I've ever seen.
No. But maybe one that you know.
Yes. What are we dining upon, then?
The question isn't what, Dr. Watson. It's who.
Listen, big boy. Now that you got me made, goodness, but I'm afraid something's gonna happen to you. Listen, big boy. You got me hooked and cowed. I would die if I should lose you now. Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself, you belong to me.